May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When we get hungry, we need to eat. We get hungry because our bodies need food. We need energy to stay alive, to move around, to do what we need to do in order to have happy, healthy, whole lives. And as far back as human memory extends, bread has been a basic part of meeting that need. Bread is basically pretty simple. There's some sort of flour, often wheat, water and oil to hold it together, yeast to make it rise, and in good times, there's honey or some other sweetener to make it taste good. Our bodies are nourished by this bread. Our hunger is fed. Into this universal need, Jesus speaks the words of our gospel today. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people listening to him said, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus isn't talking about flour and oil and yeast. Jesus is talking about another kind of food. Soul food, heart food, spirit food. Food that sustains our hearts and souls for the work of discipleship, following Jesus. Food that feeds our need for love and forgiveness and the power to serve the common good. Food that comes from the same source that fed the Israelites in the wilderness. The house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. God provided sweet, nourishing bread to the Israelites in the wilderness, and that sweet, nourishing manna was a sign of God's everlasting love for them, and they learned to depend on that sign of God's love. It sustained them for 40 years. In the wilderness. There was a catch, though. That sweet, nourishing bread from heaven, the manna, would only last one day. Jesus comes to bring us food for eternal life, the bread of life. Here we are, in the second of 6 weeks. In John's Bread of Life chapter, we continue the theme of bread, abiding in the theme by being drawn into the deeper meaning of the sign of the feeding of 5,000 from last week. This is what Jesus does in John's gospel. He enacts a sign and then engages in dialogue with the witnesses to the sign. And in that dialogue, we get this Exodus theme introduced this week. When the crowd asks Jesus, "What sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe you?" And remember, they had just seen the sign, right? They ask, "What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And God supplied more than the means to meet the physical needs of his beloved Israelites. In Jewish wisdom tradition, a tradition that includes writings such as the Psalms, Proverbs, the books of Job and Esther, God's revelation of God's self is often represented as Israel's food and drink. God is represented in the Holy Scriptures from the beginning as food and drink, our sustenance, what we need to survive. In other words, there's a spirit dimension to the imagery that Jesus pulls out of his Jewish roots. Jesus reimagines this image and infuses it with new meaning. Beginning with great subtlety, today's reading anticipates new meaning for bread, which will be made explicitly Eucharistic in weeks to come as we continue in this theme of the bread of life. And guess what? This is God's way of saying to each of us, I love you. God sends Jesus, whose flesh is food for the life of the world. God feeds us with the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. We are living proof that the bread that comes down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ does not perish. So far, this bread has a shelf life of over 2,000 years. Life in Christ is eternal life. When we eat of that bread, we live in Christ. Living in Christ means saying, I love you, a lot. Saying, I love you to God. Saying, I love you to each other. Saying, I love you to strangers and to people who are strange to us. What people need for life, what we need for life, is available to us in Jesus, and that is the love of God. Providing for that need is God's purpose and God's will, and that's why God brings us to Jesus and to all that Jesus offers. The satisfaction of our human needs, our physical needs, comes to us in simple, ordinary, everyday things. Our physical need for nourishment is satisfied by simple bread. Our emotional and spiritual need for love and community is satisfied by sitting together around a table or in a pew, by the touch of a hand or the comfort of a hug. Our human need for purpose is satisfied by helping others, again, in simple, ordinary, everyday things. The things that we do here all the time. Bringing a meal in times of trouble, a helping hand in time of need, the joy of friends and family in times of celebration. God supplies all these needs and more, and God does this in simple, ordinary, everyday things. He gave them bread to eat. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Come to me, all you who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Jesus comes to us, mortal, human flesh, and offers himself as God who can wrap his arms around his human friends in a big, warm, comfortable hug. Jesus uses common, ordinary things such as bread and wine to feed us, water to baptize us and wash our feet, and thereby makes holy and sacramental that which is common and ordinary, namely us, you and me. In the sacraments of baptism and Holy Eucharist, God claims us as family, and that means that we are God's own beloved children forever. God makes this promise through the sacraments to use us in the holy work of healing and reconciling the world to God. God uses ordinary bread and wine to bring us God's saving word. And he also uses each of us to accomplish God's will and work in this world. We are fed and we have work to do in God's world where people are hungry and thirsty, alone and lonely, broken and heartbroken. There are people out there who need to hear someone say on behalf of God, "I love you." Those who are forgotten on the hallways of nursing homes, those who are rejected by their families because of their sexual orientation, those whose lives are in turmoil or even endangered by addiction, those whose lives are threatened by war in all its many forms, those who seek refuge from all of that and so much more. Jesus Christ's initiative in stretching out his arms of love on the hardwood of the cross stands in tension with our human decision and response. In every moment, Jesus reaches out to us, and in each of those moments, there is a moment of unbearable uncertainty. How do I respond? I know you ask that question because you've asked it of me so many times. The answer is simple. Find a way to say, "I love you." You can say the words, or you can share a meal, break bread, listen to the story again and again if necessary. Visit those who are confined at home or in a medical facility, or more difficult still, in a jail or a detention center. Behind each of those expressions of love, every time, is God's great big, "I love you" to the world. We are able to say those words because God says it first and best. "I am the bread of life. I give myself for the life of the world, for every part of it, everyone and everything." Jesus reminds us again and again, God says, "I love you, each one of you." The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Hear God say it again and again, "I love you." And be sure you respond. Go. Share that love with someone else. Say it in whatever language suits the situation. But be sure you say it too. "I love you."